Amen. Exodus chapter 10 and 11 tonight. Please turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 10. We're going over the eighth and ninth plague tonight, and that God is going to bring upon the people of Egypt, and we're going to see the tenth that is to come. It's all because Pharaoh will not allow Moses and the nation of Israel to go out into the wilderness, a 3 days journey, to worship him. God has shown himself powerful, and through these plagues, God has showed himself the only true God. Through these signs and wonders, no one could do what he did. He controls everything. Pharaoh's magicians and the false gods of Egypt that they believed in were shown to be powerless. God performed his miracles, and he showed that he reigns over everything and everyone. But through it all, Pharaoh's heart has been hardened. He hasn't given in to God. Said he did, he would, but he didn't. So we pick it up in chapter 10. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him." In other words, God has confirmed his hardened heart, says, okay, his heart is hard. But he tells Moses to go into Pharaoh again. And his heart is hard. And so what he's telling him is he's not going to listen even this time because it's hardened. He won't obey. But he says, I'm going to do these signs before him. And he's got a purpose for these signs before him. In verse 2, it tells us, "And that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." He says, I'm doing this and I'm performing these signs so that in generations to come, you can tell these stories to your children. You tell your children and your children's children the great and mighty things that I've done in Egypt here, the miracles, how I'm going to deliver you, which is proof of who I am, the Lord Jehovah God. He says, and you're going to share that in future generations. You know, and we have these readings today and know of these signs in our day. It's been handed down. We have the movie, The Ten Commandments. And you can see them. And we should share with our children and grandchildren, the generations to come, the things that God has done for us. And in verse 3, he says, "So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me.'" So they were to tell Pharaoh, how long do you refuse to humble yourself? Before a person can come to the Lord, humility is required. A person must humble themselves in the sight of God to approach him properly. That's the opposite of humbling yourself is pride. You know, in James 4:6, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. And in verse 3, he says, "Says the Lord God of Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go." He says, these are my people, and you have no right to hold them back. They need to go so they can serve me. And today, we are his children. He is our Father. We are his people. And we're free to serve him and worship him. It's wonderful. Humility is required, though. A person has to humble themselves. Or else, if you don't, verse 4, or else if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. He says, you better do it. Let my people go. You know, and remember verse 2, he's doing these mighty things so that you can tell your children and your children's children the great things that he's done in Egypt. So God is going to do this. And so future people, be aware of the power of God. Now, this was carried on to future generations and to us today by the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms was written, inspired by God, and it tells of these things. So we have the written word which tells us of these things so that it would be carried on. Let's turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. We're told to do that. We're told to do that in our songs. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Then he goes on to say, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. See, it helps us to know because we still have trouble today. We still go through trials today. And it's good to remember the marvelous works of God. And it's good to remember the marvelous works he's done in our life. And good to share them with people. It's good to tell people, hey, you know, God did this for me and he'll do it for you. And that's what we're told to do here in the psalm. Remember his works and his wonders from his mouth. Then go down to he rehearses some of the things, but then go down to verse 23. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark. They did not rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. Their land abounded with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their territory. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. Remember that last week? He struck their vines also and their fig trees and splintered the trees of their territory. Tonight, he spoke and locusts came, young locusts without number. And they ate up all the vegetation in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength. And see, this is the way they remembered through the Psalms, and they would sing these things. You know, isn't it a lot easier to remember a song than it is to remember words in the book or in the Bible? You get a song in your head, and you know, when you come to the Lord later in life, you get a lot of worldly songs in your head. And sometimes, you know, you'll find yourself singing them as you're walking in a church, say, oh my gosh, what am I saying? You know, because some of these songs, you know, they don't glorify God at all. But songs seem to stay in your head. And that's why they sang these things. You keep it in your head, and you can sing it out. Turn to Psalm 78. But God kept it alive, these things that he did. Psalm 78. That's a long one about different things. Look at verse 43. Remember when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, turned their rivers into blood, their streams that they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to fiery lightning. He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to the plague and destroyed, as which we'll read next week, all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. So they would remember it by these psalms. It's carried on. It's good for us to know and remember that the great things that God has done. You know why? Because it helps us to remember nothing is impossible for God. When you read this, nothing is impossible with God. He did all these miracles and God is, no matter who was against them, Pharaoh and all his people, even though they were all against them, God got it done. Because he's stronger than any army, than any king, than any leader. And so it's good to remember that when we're going through problems. Back to our text, verse 5. So the eighth plague, locusts, we read of in verse 4. And they shall cover the face of the earth so that no one will be able to see the earth. There's going to be so many of them that you won't be able to see the ground. That ought to be scary. These locusts, wing to wing, just covering the ground. And they shall eat the residue of what was left, what is left, which remains to you from the hail. So there was some left, and they ate it. And they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen, since the day that they were on the earth to this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Great plague, like never before, this locust plague, like your fathers have never seen. They're going to eat everything up. And so he turned and he went out from Pharaoh. Moses left Pharaoh. No discussion. This time, no bargaining. His fate has been sealed, Pharaoh. He just went and told him, this is what's going to happen. And it's going to happen. And it did. So verse 7. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, well, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? Now there's trouble in the ranks. Now there's trouble in Pharaoh's court. The government is going to start falling apart because he hasn't listened to God. Trouble in the ranks. His servants, his officials, it really is. Pharaoh's servants said to him, hey, how long are you, Pharaoh, going to be a snare to us? Wake up. Are you blind, Pharaoh? Can't you see what's happening to our land? They're realizing Pharaoh is the problem. They're going through this because of Pharaoh's pride. Are you blind? Egypt is destroyed. Wake up. Look around. We're being destroyed. Everything's taken away from us. And they're getting a little upset. It's let them in go so they can go and serve the Lord their God. Why are you holding them back? Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? Look around. You've caused a lot of problems for us. So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? Well, they've told him before, everybody. He says, okay. He starts to listen. He's starting to change a little bit here. He asked for them to come back in. He says, go ahead, serve the Lord your God. Go do what you want to do. But by the way, who are the ones that are going to be going? He's always trying to hang on. Why? To have control. Not freely give in to what God wants or what Moses is demanding. He is so proud, and proud people are like that. They can't let go. They have to be top dog. And it's a killer. So he says, go ahead. And by the way, who's going? And they said in verse 9, Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. So all of us are going. Young and old, children, everybody, we're all going. Then he said to them, Pharaoh said to them, the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so, Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. What is he really saying? What he's really saying, the Lord better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you, not so. What he's saying is, if I let you and your children go, the Lord better be with you, because I know you're bent on evil. I know you're not going to come back. So then he says in verse 11, not so. He says, not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired. I'm not letting these children going. No way. You men go and serve. He knows that if they went, they would have to come back to their children. So he says, I'm not going to let all of you go. No way. You bent on evil. You men go, but there's no way the children are going. That's security to make sure they come back. He still won't give in. Wants to control. And then they were driven out from before Pharaoh's presence. Moses didn't go along with Pharaoh's recommendation. He says, nope, not so. Then the Lord said, Moses says, that's not going to be that way. They didn't go along with it. They were driven out. And then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out. That's not the way I want it to be. I want you all to go. So stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land and all that the hail has left. So we get into that next plague. Bring on the locusts. He stretched out his hand. And so Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. Day and night, they probably came from afar. It just kept all day and all night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. So they came from the east all day and all night. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously, there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be such after them. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Very severe plague. The land was darkened and they ate everything up. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. Hey, so going back at it again. He calls them back and he said, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Remember he said that last week? He's one of these guys that sorry that it happened. Not sorry that he sinned against God. Not really repentant. A person can know they've sinned. They can know they're disobeying the Lord and not repent. There's people that say, I know this is wrong, but I'm still going to do it. God requires repentance to get right with him. Turn from the sin. Unbelievers can say, I sinned. I killed somebody. But they don't repent or change. They don't become a Christian. They can acknowledge they've sinned. So he's just playing games with God. He says, he thinks that just by saying this stuff, that God will feel sorry for him and not go any further. But God sees the heart. He doesn't realize our God sees our heart. He knows if we're repentant or sorrowful, and it's not just words. You know, he says, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. I have done something wrong here. Now, no real remorse or conviction. He just wants help out of the situation. Many today who call on God or God's people for prayer just because they're in a bad situation and want out. There's many people like that. Boy, when they want nothing to do with the Lord or church or anything, but when they run into trouble, they ask for prayer. Oh, I got to get out of this situation. But you hear about them months down the road, and they're back to the same thing. No real repentance. No change. Verse 17. Please forgive my sin only this once. Isn't that weird? He said that last week we read. I mean, he sinned a lot. Well, just this one time, because I want this to end. Just this once, and entreat or pray to the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. See, that's why he wants that plague out of there. That's why he's saying that stuff. He thinks he can play games with God just through his words. God sees the heart. He knows who's repentant and sorrowful and is obedient. There's a lot of people that call on God just because they want out or they got caught. Pray that you'll take away from me this death only. He didn't say take away my sin and forgive me. Just get rid of the plague and I'll be happy. That's what people want. Forgive me this once. Nothing about changing, nothing about humility. He just wants the plague out of there. So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. Moses amazes me. After someone does it 9 times, there's a tendency for us to say, I'm not going to pray to the Lord for you anymore. We've done this many times before. You go back to the same thing. He does. Moses just, he asks for prayer. He asks for Moses to get before the Lord. And Moses does. You know, Moses goes in, went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, verse 18. And guess what? The Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away. God did it. Listen to Moses' plea and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. When God does something, he really does it. There wasn't a locust around. Not one locust around. That's got to be a miracle. Verse 20, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, he's made it hard. Pharaoh's heart is hard. God gives him over to that hardness. And he did not let the children of Israel go. See, he wasn't really sorrowful or knew that he sinned and he wouldn't sin again. As soon as the plague is over, that's it. Hey, person gets better. I don't need the Lord anymore. Verse 21, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. We get into the 9th plague. Darkness. No light at all. Darkness. No light from the sun, no light from the moon. They couldn't have any light in where they lived. It says, so dark it can be felt. This attacks the Egyptian sun god Ra. He was proved powerless here. God could just make the sun dark. That was one of their gods. They believed in the sun god Ra. Proved to be false. Verse 22, so Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. 3 days, couldn't see a thing. I've been in a place where there was such darkness that couldn't be felt. In these caverns once. They call it Howe Caverns in New York. We went down in those caverns. They could take a tour down in there, way, way down. And they shut off all the lights, and it freaks you out because you can't see your hand. And you always think you'll be able to get your hand real close and see it. You cannot see your hand. You could actually feel it. Darkness like that is so thick you can feel it. There's nothing you can do. You can't even move. And that's what happened to these people. See in verse 23, they did not see one another. A person could be right next to you and you don't know they're there. It's that dark. Nor did anyone arise from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Isn't that amazing? That's got to be a miracle. The land of Goshen, that part of Egypt, hey, there's lights on for those people. They can see. But over here, nothing. God is always distinguishing between his people and the people of the world. Believers and unbelievers. The unbelievers are in darkness. Believers are in the light. And that's the way it is today. So then Pharaoh, guess what? Called to Moses and said, go, serve the Lord. Look at this time. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back, and let your little ones also go with you. Okay, we'll give in a little more. Take the children, you know, but keep the flocks back. He's always hanging on to try and be sure that they're going to come back. And so Moses isn't going to go along with that. But Moses said in verse 25, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. You know, Pharaoh's down to one condition, just hold the flocks back. And Moses, no way, we are told to go out there and sacrifice. We're going to need these animals for sacrifice. Because our livestock also should go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for you must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. We're not even sure what he's going to ask us or how much to sacrifice, so we need to take them all. We can't go without them. So we're not going to obey you. So the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Now he's really angry with Moses. Get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For the day you see my face, you shall die. If I ever see you again, I'll kill you. Get out of here. Because if I ever see you again, I'll kill you. You'll die. He doesn't want him around anymore. So Moses said, you have spoken well. I will never see your face again. How true that was. Moses was right. He's never going to see his face again. Now, in the next chapter, chapter 11, the first part is in this same conference he's having with Pharaoh. These first few verses are like filling in what happened prior. This is not another day where Moses came back in, because he says, I'm never going to see your face again. Because in verse 8, chapter 11, verse 8, we see where he finally goes out. He says, after I will go out. Then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. So he didn't go out till verse 8 of chapter 11. So it's kind of, he's still in Moses' presence, and verses 1 to 3 are sort of a flashback to what God told Moses. And then after that, we see them communicating, and then in verse 8 he leaves. So verse 11 it says, and the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt afterward. He will let you go from here. And when he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. So we see that's where Pharaoh did drive him out in verse 28. So this is sort of prior to that, filling in, you know, sort of a flashback more that happened. There's going to be one more plague, and he's going to drive you out after I do that one more plague. And verse 2, so speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. Here's what I want you to do, Moses. Tell the Israelites to ask for gold and silver articles, jewelry, from the Egyptians. He says, ask and not borrow. You just want them. You know, I'm going to say, I want to borrow this stuff. He says, ask them. Just say you're going to take it. Just ask them for it. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Isn't that interesting? Go ask for gold and silver. And God gave favor to the Israelites, his people, from the Egyptians. And it tells us Moses was highly esteemed by Pharaoh's servants and the people, the Egyptians. They you know, he was esteemed as a great man by these people in Egypt and Pharaoh's servants. He wasn't by Pharaoh, but by the people. And even his people, the Israelites, he gave them great favor in the land. After all, they did a lot of work there. They built cities. So he gave them favor. So verse 4, then Moses said, thus says the Lord. He's going to foretell the 10th plague here. Thus says the Lord, about midnight, I will go out into the land of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Is that midnight? Going to go through the land, and the firstborn in Egypt is going to die. Man and animal. That's quite a plague. And in verse 6, there shall be a great cry, real wailing and sorrow throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. It's going to be a great cry of grief in the land of Egypt as I do this. However, verse 7, but against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Again, none of the children of Israel shall suffer loss. There's a difference between God's people and unbelievers. We will be in heaven. We will be raptured. Unbelievers will stay or go through the great tribulation. They will not end up in heaven. Verse 8, and all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, and all the people who follow you. After that, I will go out. They went out from Pharaoh in great anger. Pharaoh must have loved that. He says, hey, your servants, your officials are going to come begging me to, and my people to go and leave. That's really humbling, isn't it? You think you're so good, you're so controlling. Your people are going to be begging us to get out of here. Here, take all the jewelry, the gold and silver, and please go. Because it's going to be so horrible, the firstborn slain. That affects people. And then Moses left him in great anger. I wonder if Pharaoh really believed it at this time. But the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you. He's not going to listen. This isn't going to scare him. His heart is still hard. You've told him what's going to happen, but he's not going to give in. He will not heed you. So that, why? Why is God allowing all this to happen? All 10 of these plagues. So that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So everyone will know about all these miracles I did in the land of Egypt. They're going to know I'm truly Jehovah God, Yahweh, the one true creator of heaven and earth. The plague will come. My wonders and power will be demonstrated in Egypt, and people will talk about it. So Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. And next we see that 10th plague, and it creates what we call the Passover. And the Passover, as you know, points to the new covenant in Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. We believers now live and have life eternal due to what? God's only begotten Son, dying for our sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, the Bible tells us. And as we get into the Passover, we'll see this all points to Jesus Christ. We're saved today because that Son of God gave his life for us. We see that parallel in the next chapter. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great love for us. Thank you, Lord, that we are safe. We might not end up with much on this earth, but we have everything in heaven. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. How wonderful to know we're safe, secure, saved, and on our way to home to be with you. How wonderful, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, giving up his life for ours. As we worship you now, let this worship truly be from our heart and our spirit, honoring and glorifying you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.